If you're hearing no a lot from your lender, you probably need to look for someone else that can maybe make some of those yeses.
Hello, welcome to episode 166 of the Smart Agents Podcast. As always, my name is Michael Walter, and I'll be your host. In today's episode, we are joined by Andy Price, founder and CEO of Price Mortgage, one of the premier mortgage brokerages in Arizona and the Southwest. Prior to transitioning into mortgages nearly 15 years ago, Andy spent time as a licensed real estate agent. That experience in real estate has given Andy a unique insight into making the partnership between mortgage officer and real estate agents a more successful one. Throughout our conversation, Andy shares how he and his team build their relationship with real estate agents, the red flags agents should avoid when working with a loan officer, and the importance of educating clients through the real impacts and opportunities available to them as the market conditions change. But before we get on to the day's featured interview, the all-new Smart Agents magazine has launched and is full of insights and strategies designed to help real estate agents grow their businesses. Inside, you will find interviews and advice from leading real estate professionals, marketing tips to flood your business with leads, and even swipe and deploy files full of practical tools to enhance your business. Subscribe now to receive your copy of the printed magazine each month and instantly get access to our online agent community and members-only templates. Click the link in the episode description or go to smartagents.com/magazine. Also, if you enjoy this conversation, be sure to like and subscribe. The Smart Agents podcast streams on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, YouTube. And finally, if you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on to the day's featured interview with Andy Price. If you're interested in seeing if Andy and his team serve your market, check out his website, pricemortgage.com. Really, the way I like to start everything out is if you could just introduce yourself to us a little bit, who you are and where you're at in the country.
Sure thing. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm Andy Price with Price Mortgage. I'm located in Gilbert, Arizona. We are licensed in over 27 states in the U.S. to do business. We have a branch here in Arizona. We have one in Oregon and one in New Mexico currently. I've been doing loans for 22 years. Before that, I was doing real estate for a couple of years. So my mom was a realtor, and that's what had me do that at first. Yeah.
Awesome. So obviously, you know, with the experience in real estate, our audience is really real estate agents and brokers. So I feel like, you know, your story and, you know, your tips are really going to be suited well for our audience.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What would you like me to dive into?
Well, first off, I mean, really, you know, tell us a little bit about your journey from real estate, you know, as a real estate agent over to a broker. What was it that, you know, maybe made you want to make that transition? And what did you see that you could solve and kind of help, you know, between that relationship?
For sure. So it was a few things. One is, you know, being a realtor, it's been good on this side of the business because I know what it's like to be in their shoes and what that feels like when you're depending on a lender to deliver, right? So I ran into that a lot. I'd reach out to a loan officer to get a client pre-qualified. Yeah, they look good. And then, you know, we're get a contract. Oh no, you know, it's not going to work, or we couldn't get them to reply or follow up with clients or just all kinds of things. And I just thought, you know, I could do a much better job at that, you know, on that side. And for me personally, like, I liked real estate. I liked all that, but I didn't like showing houses. I didn't like acting excited about houses. I didn't like driving all over the place. And I was much more interested in the numbers and why people are getting qualified, why they aren't, that kind of thing. So basically, I decided to become a loan officer assistant for a family member who was a mortgage broker. And I didn't know the difference between brokers, retail. I didn't know any of that. All I knew is I wanted to learn the business. So I started with him. He was doing a few loans a month and he wanted to grow. And, you know, I was with him about 2.5 years or so. And when I left, I was doing about half of the business myself and he was the other half. And I was pretty much doing everything. And it was time for me to just kind of go out on my own. We grew to doing, you know, 20, 30 loans a month during that course of time. I decided to do that, became a loan officer on my own. I went to another broker shop where I knew his previous partner, And I did that for over 11 years there. While we were there, we went through the crash, and we were with a couple FDIC banks during that process. So I got to experience a little of that retail feel and dealing with an FDIC bank. And then I had everything ready to open my own mortgage brokers, because I just, again, felt there were things I could do better and make it more of a LO friendly, consumer friendly experience. So I decided I'd go to one more retail shop and check it out. They were the number one branch in America here in Arizona. And I realized, you know, it was pretty much the same thing. There was no, you know, magic fairy dust or anything. And I'd be better off on the broker side offering lower rates and fees. So I opened up Price Mortgage in 2017. Really didn't have any intent to grow it too big, just have a few loan officers here and some support staff. And currently I think we have 90 or so loan officers. We have over 100 employees. And I still originate, and you know, I deal with lots of real estate agents, mainly in Arizona, but I have several in other states too that I work with. And you know, I enjoy it. I like to help clients. I like to turn no's into yeses, and I feel like we can offer that on the broker channel. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And so, you know, going into what are some of the things that, you know, now that you, when you opened up your own shop and, you know, that you wanted to change from, you know, the previous places that you had been to, what are some of those main things that you have been doing to really kind of differentiate yourself and kind of maybe change up the way, you know, the business has been done in the past?
Yeah. So traditionally, and this has changed over the last 6 years, but when I, most broker shops were pretty like, yep, here you go. Here's our investor list. Have fun, you know, figure it out. And so it was very, very low support levels in the broker space. Wasn't a lot of help with marketing or operations or anything like that. And if you wanted that, you had to be at a retail bank that had all that support staff and things. So my goal was to basically form a hybrid where, like, hey, we can have the lower broker rates and fees, but also have the support and the marketing department and all that stuff. So that was what I've, you know, set out to build and what we continue to grow. And so that was really the biggest thing, is just having a place where a loan officer can go and have the support needed, which in turn helps the clients have a better experience, helps the realtor partners have a better experience, things like that. And just make the process as easy as possible. So I, you know, I don't just manage, I produce loans, and I originate. And so for me, being in the weeds, with the LOs helps a lot. I see what processes are going through, what we're dealing with in underwriting, what the challenges are with the current markets and things like that. So I can be very, you know, I'm on pulse with everything, and that helps me. I feel, you know, lead by example and just, I think, be a better leader overall. I don't know how I wish maybe I could figure it out, but I don't know how you can lead without being in it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I want to kind of circle back to your, you know, the leadership and the, what you're doing in your brokerage here in a bit. But first off, you know, with your experience, as, you know, as your mom in real estate and yourself with the experience, what are some of those, you know, tips or things that, you know, agents should be looking for when they are, you know, working with a broker for the first time, or, you know, kind of fostering that relationship?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of misconceptions. It's changed over the years, right? I think the real estate agents are becoming more aware of what mortgage brokers are and do, and some of those, like, maybe negative things that they thought in the past, because really for retail lenders, all they can say is, oh, there's no control and they don't have this and they don't have that. But at the end of the day, we actually have the same control or better. And the good part with us is we're not limited to one rate sheet. We're not limited to one set of underwriters. We have way less overhead to deal with. And what that does is that helps us offer their clients lower rates, lower fees, especially in this market. I mean, you know, 0.25% rate can make or break a deal from them. You know, it could help them qualify for more house or keep their payment and more in line. Or maybe the fees, maybe they just don't have the money to make it happen. So we can help them in that part too, like where we have less fees for the same rates or help them get a better rate. But when you're vetting out anybody, whether it's retail or a broker, I mean, number one is, you know, my philosophy is if you're working, I'm working, right? So, you know, agents are out after hours a lot on the weekends. If you're dealing with someone that's 9 to 5, that's very counterproductive to running a business. There's the real estate's a super time sensitive thing. And And, you know, you can lose a deal because you weren't able to get an updated pre-qual or confirm something, or the agent, you know, the listing agent reaches out to the LO on a Sunday and they're not getting back to them about the customer. So I think it's a team effort, and you have to have somebody that wants to be, you know, a team member and part of your business, invested in you, right? Like, it's not like we're here and you're there. We're all one trying to get a deal in, help the customer. That's how we survive. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just in, you know, my own personal experience, you know, when looking for a home, it's not happening at 3 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon. It's happening at 2 o'clock on a Sunday. And, you know, if I'm going to put an offer in on the place or something, I don't, you know, it's nerve wracking. It might only be 24 hour wait to get to that Monday, but it's a nerve wracking 24 hours. If my agent's able to get that information within, you know, that Sunday afternoon, that's great.
Yeah. I think it's really important to, like, if a lender tells you no, like, always have one or two, three lenders, like have a retail person, have a broker. As brokers, we're, you know, for us, like, we have over 80 investors network, you know, in our wholesale network. So, you know, all kinds of programs, all kinds of credit score, you know, variant, like, we can do all kinds of stuff. There's ways that we can turn lots of these no's into yeses. So sometimes it's just as simple as, you know, having other options. Like, if you're hearing no a lot from your lender, you probably need to look for someone else that can maybe make some of those yeses. You know, I mean, deals are a lot lower. There's a lot less opportunities now. So the more times you can say yes, the better off you are. You know, that customer is going to find another lender or another realtor who's going to put them in touch with another lender, and you lose that relationship. I mean, to me, the biggest thing about growing a business is don't lose your database. Don't lose a customer at any cost. Keep them in your database. That's going to be future referrals, future business, things of that nature. So, I mean, there are times you have to say no, but at least give them a path forward, you know, like, hey, you can't do it right now, but here's X, Y, Z. Let's, you know, let's revisit this. Like, always leave the door open and keep that conversation going with these customers.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, and you touched on it there, but, you know, really some of the red flags that an agent should, you know, to see if, you know, they're dealing with a loan officer. And it seems like, you know, if you're hearing that no a lot, and there's not those, you know, the want or the drive to, you know, kind of help get somebody across the finish line, whether it's today or in a year, you know, if somebody is just there to simply, you know, put the rubber stamp on something, it seems like that's probably one of the bigger red flags that agents should be looking for.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. It's really super important to, you know, have those backup options for your customers. You know, it's, you don't want to lose, like I was saying, you just don't want to lose anyone, right? You want to keep them and help them get it done. And, you know, the other thing too, a lot of times if you're dealing with some of the retail places where the rates and fees are higher, they may start with them, but then they're like, oh, you know, I shopped and I'm going to go with, you know, Rocket or some random online lender. And that you lose some control there, and it can hurt your experience because you don't have that relationship with that lender, right? They're not on your team. So, you know, if you're dealing with someone who's able to be competitive and be in the market and not lose, you know, miss out on like where they're going to shop and find someone else to work with, that helps you keep your business running smoother as a realtor. So again, if you've got a lot of guys that are saying, hey, I found something better at this place, and you're losing a lot of those to another, you know, they're your lender's losing out and they're going with somebody else that you don't have a relationship with, you know, it might be time to find someone else too.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to the agent, what are some of those things that, you know, you wish that would be more, you know, maybe common knowledge or things that would kind of help the relationship, or even, you know, just the whole process run a little bit smoother?
Yeah. I mean, I think some of it boils down to, I mean, you know, as lenders, it's our job to provide information and what works, what doesn't, and things like that. So it's important to have a lender you can lean on for questions, whether they're helping you with a deal or not. Maybe it's a listing you have and you just need some info on, hey, like, how do I help, you know, make this work to get more buyers in the door? Like, you might be a few grand off from meeting an FHA loan limit and you're missing out on a whole FHA market or even conventional. Maybe you're off a little bit on price and you're missing out on customers because the price is just a few grand too high and it limits some of the customers. But also, like, the things like the 2-1 buy down and stuff, like, you want to have lenders that have these programs. I mean, the 2-1 buy down right now is huge. It's helped keep the prices in line, you know, keep prices at a higher point because people have these lower payments for the first couple of years. It helps people feel more comfortable with buying, knowing that they can have these lower payments and wait to refinance at a later date. So if, you know, if you're not having that as an option with your lender, that's a big loss right now. You know, it's a big piece of the game right now is, hey, we need to get X amount from the seller so we can get this 2-1 buy down, or hey, we need some concessions to do this or whatever it is to help make the customer have a payment that they can afford and be comfortable with and have the funds they need to close.
Yeah. How often do you work with agents, you know, that maybe you do have a really good relationship with that you can kind of almost look at their listing or what a, you know, a buyer might be able to bring to the table and kind of help work through some hypothetical situations that they can present to their, you know, their clients?
You know, I mean, often, like I have lots of agents that I work with and they'll reach out to me with questions, whether I have the deal or not, or if it's their listing and they're like, hey, like I'm can't get it sold. Like, what would you recommend as a lender that would help me maybe get more buyers in? So I'll go through that, like, hey, offer some concessions for the buy down, or hey, you're a little off on your price. Like, you know, if you went down just a hair, you could get some of these FHA borrowers, things of that nature. Kind of the same things I was touching on, or hey, we have programs for this. Like, you know, if maybe it needs work, we can offer renovation loans, or if it's a non-warrantable condo, hey, we have options for that. Like, just letting them know, you know. So it's important to I think as a realtor to really have a lender that can help you across the board, not just with a buyer you have, but just with your whole business. You know, you can lean on them for information and maybe have something going sideways on a listing. Like, how can we fix it? You know, like, hey, here's a few pointers that I would recommend, or things like that. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of times that we'll get a loan in, or I will personally, and they've been told no a few times, and, you know, we'll look at it. We'll figure out, like, hey, we need to just do X, Y, Z, or hey, here's what we got to do. And we can turn these things into loans just by asking a few more questions, digging a little deeper, looking for solutions to help the customer, right? So don't just look at it like black and white, like, okay, here's the app, but do we have this as an option? You know, talking to the customers, working out the details, finding ways to get them into a home.
Yeah. And you mentioned it earlier about being, you know, really being a part of that person, you know, that agent, that realtor's business, and really being a team member for them. And I think having that relationship is, you know, is super important, not only to, you know, your own end referral business, but also, you know, to helping those, you know, those buyers or those sellers, you know, that meeting their needs. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about getting those people into the homes or, you know, selling that home. Right. You know, yeah. that they're needing.
Well, yeah, to me, it's just if someone needs help with something, you know, an agent, like, it's like, yeah, like, let me help. Like, for me, if that helps them close a listing and it helps them keep furthering their business and growing their business, that's a win for me. I mean, I'm going to benefit mm-hmm. from that regardless, you know, that's not necessarily the point, but the point is you just need a good team, whether it's title, lender, whatever it is, inspectors, like, get a good team together, you know, so you can kick ass, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it can make or break you. I mean, really, it can, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. And is that something, you know, as you've built your own business that you really kind of, you know, maybe, you know, harp on, but, you know, really kind of train the people that work with you to really, you know, create those relationships with their.
Yeah, I talk about it a lot. I always talk about, you know, customers number one. So like the employees here, they're my customers. You know, I tell them the same, like, hey, everybody you work with is your customer, right? The realtors, the buyers, the title companies, these are all people that can refer you business, right? It's not just this one person. So it's, to me, it's like, you know, I call it, you're being paid to advertise, right? So like, if you have a transaction, you have a listing agent on the other side, that's your opportunity to show them how you work, show them that you're responsive, show them that you're getting stuff done, you're, you know, working out any issues. Like, you know, the home buying lending business, it's not pretty all the time. Like, it just isn't. The only thing we can do is be proactive, find solutions, make sure it gets done. And yeah, some go through squeaky clean and those are great and we love those, but you know what? There's a lot that don't. You can't have somebody that hides out and doesn't address the issues and doesn't find a path forward. You know, you need someone that tells you like it is and tells you, here's what we got to do to get it done and move forward, you know, have those hard conversations. Because at the end of the day, everybody wants it to go. Everyone wants the deal to close. So you can't just like withhold what the issues are. If something comes up, you need to hit it head on and deal with it.
Right. It would, the way the, you know, the market was It's been so crazy in the last few years. And, you know, for buyers that were trying to get into places and, you know, having to, you know, the listing price is already jacked up, but then the, you know, with so many offers and multiple offers, you know, the price goes up and up and up. I have to imagine you probably came across a lot of people that, you know, when you were crunching the numbers, it wasn't possible at the time. So having that communication and having that relationship with the realtor on, you know, to kind of help them maybe not make that purchase right then and there, but to set themselves up for another listing that comes. How much did you do that over, you know, when things were so crazy?
Oh yeah. I mean, it would happen. People would, you know, put an offer in and they'd be beat out by a cash borrower or buyer, or, you know, somebody to pay $100,000 over asking and things like that. So I think the biggest thing is, you know, stay optimistic, stay encouraging, like, hey, yeah, it's a tough market. The right house will come along. It'll work out. Like, stay in it, you know, keep looking. Something will happen for you. And, you know, and try to have that conversation going. And some people, yeah, they'll wait, and that's okay too. Some will decide to rent for a while or whatever it is, but it's important to have a good, you know, like follow-up systems, you know, drips, like CRMs and things, so you can stay in touch with these people that either did buy or didn't buy, so you can continue to be in their face. Cause you know, people will forget about you, whether you think you're awesome or not, you know, no matter what you do for them, you know, they're going to get something and they're like, oh yeah, let's just go look at it. Or, oh, let's just, you know, so it's important to stay in front of them, maybe a monthly newsletter, just little nuggets on things, whatever it is, to stay in front of these people that haven't bought yet or will buy again or sell. Right. So, but yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. And then now in today's market, I think the main conversation we're having is like, hey, yeah, rates are high, but you know, you can negotiate price a lot of times. You can get seller concessions for the 2-1 buy down. You can ask for repairs. You know, you don't have to pay cash. Like, there's a lot of benefits to buying right now that once rates start dropping again, they're going to be off the table. I mean, inventory is low overall. So as soon as rates start to drop, it's going to get crazy again. And a lot of people aren't going to have extra money to you know, pay $100,000 over asking. And I also tell people, like, listen, when that market was going on, yeah, people got the 2.8s, the 3.0 whatever. But you know what? They paid a hefty premium sometimes to get those. If they had to pay $100,000 over asking to get it, how far would $100,000 go on a payment that's $1,000 more a month than it would have been then? How long does that you know, subsidize this higher house payment, having the money in the bank versus just paying a seller for a house, you know, well over asking?
Right.
Like, you got to look at both sides of that, right? Yeah, so a lot of people paid big premiums to get into these homes when those rates were lower.
Right. And, mm-hmm. you know, it, kind of shifting our conversation to the current, you know, mortgage climate and the current climate, you know, what are some of the shifts that maybe you've seen in the markets that you serve, you know, in response to the mortgage rate changes?
Yeah, I think the biggest shifts have been just, you know, you're able to negotiate some on price. You can negotiate some concessions from a seller to help with closing or the 2-1 buy downs, and just being able to ask for repairs and things. Like, sellers are more willing to help, right? Because there are less buyers. If they get a buyer, they don't want to lose it. It's not like, oh, we'll just move on, right? Like, we're seeing that. I mean, there's still some areas and some houses that'll get multiple offers and go over. But for the most part, most of these listings, there's some work, you know, you can work with them a little bit and get things done. So I think that's the biggest thing, is just for buyers now, is understanding they do have a lot more leverage, even though, you know, yeah, the rate's higher, your payment's higher, and it will be. But guess what? When rates drop, you can just refinance and you won't be out there in the circus trying to buy a house. You'll be done. You already have it, and you won't have to pay. Like, when rates go down, house prices go up, right? So that's the other thing. Prices will go up. All that stuff will be a lot harder. So this is the time for people that couldn't get those homes when it was crazy to try to get one now. And yeah, you know, as long as you can afford the payment or get the buy down money and have the lower payment for a couple of years, like, it's a good time to get it done and get into a home while you can, you know?
How important is it to educate people? Because I think a lot of times when people, you know, see a mortgage rate, you know, on the day that they're, you know, the weekend that they're going to go out and buy, you know, or maybe what they've been hearing the last few months, you know, they get scared about, you know, this is going to be, you know, this 30-year mortgage that I have or things like that. And a lot of people don't, you know, they maybe don't even realize the whole refinancing part or the fact that things are going to, you know, shift around. So how much of that, you know, pre-education do you try to do with your buyers?
I pretty much have a conversation about that with every customer, especially if they're a little on the fence. I think the other conversation is, how much is rent, right? I mean, rent's 100% interest rate. Rents are up too. So it's a question of where do you want to put your money, and do you want to invest in real estate? Like, talk to them about the benefits of owning a home, talking about possible tax write-offs for mortgage interest sometimes for some of them, talk about the opportunity to refinance later when rates are lower, and about avoiding trying to buy a house when it's crazier, right? So I think it's really important to let people know, like, hey, this isn't going to be your forever loan. Like, you might have it a 1, 2, 3 years, but at some point, you're going to buy a different house or you're going to refinance to a lower payment. So it's affordability, it's knowing they have options later to be in a better financial position on their home, right? Just letting them know that those are options. I think it's important to have that conversation with every single customer.
Absolutely. Kind of switching a little bit up to your own brokerage and the things that you've done to build that. I was watching a really interesting video that you had done a while back about investing in your team and the importance of investing in your team and how that helps grow a company culture or just the overall well-being of your company. I'd love for you to share a little bit of your thoughts on just that, that whole idea of investing in your employees and in your team overall.
Yeah, I think paying them well is definitely a big piece of it, but it's not everything. It's not always just about pay. They need to feel appreciated. They need to know they're valued. So I think for us, like trying to do quarterly events, like some of that slowed down during COVID, but we're trying to ramp up again where we're doing that stuff, buy lunch here and there, do these little events together so we can see each other. 'Cause a lot of people work from home and we don't see them every day. And so it's good to have those bonds with people and do things outside of work that aren't work related, but still with your work family, because you want to develop a culture, kind of a family culture, like, hey, we all care about each other. We all, we're nice to each other. We're all on the same team. And all that stuff just helps benefit, again, the realtor customer experience, right? For the people we work with. The other side of that is I think it's important to invest in community. I'm a big fan of, hey, my son's needs a baseball, little league sponsor, done. Like, whatever that stuff is, or a golf tournament or something for a veteran or anything local, it's, I always try to be involved in it. It's that grassroots kind of way to get your name out there and let the community know you're there and you're supporting these your local, community, in my opinion. So, but yeah, I mean, there's lots of personalities when you're, own a company. There's lots of people you deal with. And I think the biggest thing at the end of the day, whether it's with a partner, an employee, a buyer, is, put yourself in their shoes, right? Like, how would I want this conversation to go? What would make me feel like I'm valued or like you're on my team, right? So, I've said it a million times and other things, but it's like it really boils down to like treat others how you want to be treated. That's the bottom line. Like, do people right and they'll do right by you,
Right, absolutely. And you touched on it there a moment ago, but that kind of grassroots marketing, I think that really helps also show that you are an active member of the community and that you're really there to help your community grow and get into these homes. And I think that's a great way to market your business.
Yeah, I mean, overall, usually the cost is pretty cheap. You're not going to miss it. And it goes a long way, right? I mean, it just helps strengthen your bonds with your community and with your customer database, the people you work with. So I always think it's a good way to do things personally. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know personal experience. We have a baseball team that my son's on, and we do, the little banners, and they, I think the for a big logo, and I think it's like $250, and it's
Yeah.
up there. And then not only do you have the, it's up there for every game, but all those parents on the team, we see the names and the who's supporting us. So,
Right.
that's
Yeah.
12 families right there that you just got in front of real quick.
Yeah, and the other team too, right? Like,
Right.
so yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it's those things are usually pretty cheap, and it's I think it just goes a long way, and you never know what you're going to get out of that stuff. So, and either way, it just feels good to help, do things for these kids and communities and stuff like that.
Yeah. What, you know, you've obviously your career trajectory, it seems like you've always wanted to grow and kind of you've, finding, ways to better, the process or the relationship that, between the agent and yourself or the borrowers and yourself, what's kind of, on the horizon of the future for you guys?
Yeah. I mean, for us, my biggest thing now is just making sure everybody's busy and making as much money as we can in these lower times. So like expanding our footprint, like last year, we spent a lot of time just getting into more states. So we have a bigger footprint to serve more customers that maybe are moving from Arizona to somewhere else, or they refer a family member somewhere else, or we know realtors or other family that we have in other states. So that's a big one. And then just, we don't do any like recruiting. So it's all word of mouth, but definitely trying to, we'll still take on good loan officers because it's important about our reputation or brand. So we don't like to hire just anybody. We try to hire people that kind of have the same core values as us and treat customers right and things. So but that's kind of where we're at now is just doing that and just getting in front of as many people as we can, staying in touch with our past database, again, just helping our partners, our realtors, if they hear a no, help them make a yes. Things like that are really important at this time, like helping every customer you can. I it's really the same game, as it always is, just the numbers change. But yeah, I mean, there's only so many ways you can grow, right? It's either, on a business side of things, it's do more units. So how do you do more units? Again, expand your footprint, hire more loan officers as they come in. But yeah, and I also don't like to like hire a bunch of people at once because it can bog down the system. So I like to trickle them in. If somebody reaches out, we trickle them in and it doesn't disrupt our normal flow of things, right? So it's definitely experience over profits or people over profits,
Yeah. I mean, but at the end of the day, as you do that and you bring in, good people that fit your company culture, that profit is always going to go up and you're not going to hit those snags of, maybe you do bring in 10 people all of a sudden and maybe six of them don't work out or, and you got to go through that whole process again, but then it's also taking your attention off, the current operating of the business.
Exactly. Yeah. Some of those things can hurt more than help. And so mm-hmm. I'm really protective of the flow and what the, how we integrate people into the company and who we integrate into the company. Yeah. Like toxic people have to go, right? Like I'm really bad about laying off people. And sometimes I've let some people stay on too long. And I've tried to learn from that and just like, this just is never going to be a good fit. And, thank you, but it's probably time to find somewhere that better fits you,
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, it just wrapping up, what you said about being really, really involved in not only, the whole loan process, you're doing it yourself. So you understand, what's going on in the current climate, but then also being super involved with your team. You can see those relationships and maybe kind of pick out those toxic people pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's the idea. And I mean, again, we'll give people a couple of chances, but after a while, if it's just like, okay, like you're just going to be one of those people, like probably not the best place here, right? Like it's good to try to have the best work environment you can because it just benefits the whole, everyone we work with, everyone we deal with, and keeps people happy. And that's a big piece of it, right? To bring in more referrals and keep good employees on board.
Yeah. Absolutely. So for any agents that are out there listening, that might be, in one of the markets that you serve, how can they find you?
Yeah. PriceMortgage.com. We have there's a service areas list under our about thing and it'll let you know what states we're in. And then there's also a 2-1 buy down calculator up there where you can plug in numbers. If you're trying to get a quick amount you'll need from a seller. And there's a little cheat sheet in there as well. So, how much concessions you can ask for on a transaction. So that's helpful for a lot of agents I work with now. Of course, I'm always here for any questions. And my cell phone is the best way to reach me, 602-405-3605. If you have anything you need, I'd be happy to talk to you.
Awesome. Well, I really do appreciate you, sharing your experience and, I think it is really important for agents to have a really good relationship with their loan officer.
Yes, it's a very important to have a good loan officer and a good team behind you to grow your business. 1000% for sure.
I want to thank Andy for joining us today. I think it's vitally important for real estate agents to have a strong team of partners working together to help their clients cross the finish line of owning a home. Remember, if you're interested in seeing if Price Mortgage serves your market, check out pricemortgage.com. So once again, if you think you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.